A royal priesthood dash. Responsibilities of priesthood. Our objective is as it is stated. If I am a priest, what is my work? And I'm not just talking to pastors now, because we are a royal priesthood, every one of us. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and in verse 8. I'm going to be as sharp as I can. And I want you to look at that passage with me. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi, that is a priesthood tribe, to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister to him, and to bless in his name unto this day. It's a clearly defined syllabus. But before we go there, it is important to understand assignment. To understand the assignment or the responsibilities of priesthood for the following reasons. One, success in any realm is a product of understanding. Nothing is successful without understanding. People fail in school, not because they were not in class, but because they didn't understand what was taught. If we are to discharge our duties as priests with success, it must be discharged with understanding. Number two, every undertaking becomes outstanding with understanding. I got that sense for the first time from our father in the Lord, Bishop David Oyedepo. Every undertaking, I may be saying it in my own words now, every undertaking becomes outstanding with understanding. If you want to be outstanding in any undertaking, you require understanding. Outstanding priest, outstanding doctor, outstanding lawyer, outstanding businessman, there must be understanding. Thirdly, understanding guarantees the prevention of wastage. Wastage is prevented, guarantees the avoidance of wastage. And that is the wastage of time, the wastage of life, the wastage of resources. Time is wasted, life is wasted, resources are wasted when understanding is out of place. And finally, title without meaning is the product of the lack of understanding. Where a person carries a title that has no meaning, title that has no result, that happens without understanding. Bearing the title of a priest without knowing why you are a priest, that happens. Now, what are the responsibilities of the priest? We'll start with Deuteronomy chapter 10 and in verse 8. The Lord
separated the tribe of Levi. Number one, responsibility. Bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Bearing the ark. The priests are ark bearers.
What is the meaning of that? Priesthood is not a title. Priesthood is not for fancy. Priesthood is a responsibility. And it is the responsibility of being the custodian of divine presence. The ark of the covenant of the Lord, they call it the ark of his presence, is the symbolism of the presence of God in the Old Testament. The priest is a divine presence distributor, a divine presence communicator, a divine presence carrier. Nobody has the right to be called priest who does not carry the ark. Nobody has the license of being called a priest who is not a carrier of presence. So being a priest is not a matter of title, is a matter of presence. That is your generation feeling the presence of God when they come around you is the confirmation of your priesthood. Your generation feeling the presence of God, experiencing the presence of God when they come around you is the confirmation of your priesthood. No priest is qualified to be called priest whose life is dry. If I stop here, I've already overpreached. In your class, as a royal priesthood, your classmates should feel God when they come around you. In your place of business, as royal priesthood, the people who conduct business with you should feel God when they come around you. Your business partners should experience God when they come around you. Mahoshatokobagadaga. This is the number one assignment of priesthood. You are the visible representation of the invisible God. Am I communicating at all? I am talking about convicting presence. Presence that convicts. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. One man stood before Smith Wigglesworth. Inside a train, a coach. He said, I don't know who you are, but you convict me of sin. I don't know who you are, but there is something about you that makes me to be convicted. I told you my own story many times. New Jersey. Man saw me and said, are you a man of God? Are you a pastor? I said, what is it? He said, it's all over you. Not once, not twice. Several places. All over you. I see God, I feel God all over you. When the plane from Germany to America some time ago, and it was like a 10-hour flight. And inside that plane, I was on my own connecting God in worship. Whole atmosphere was charged. The air hostess, white woman, was passing by and was serving food. My wife wanted to tap me so that
He can serve.
The woman said, leave him, leave him, leave him. We are enjoying what he's doing. The cabin charged with God's presence.
Of what use is an eagle without soaring? Of what use is a lion without roaring? Of what use is a priest without the ark? What is the duty of a singer without a song? The teacher without the instruction? And the priest without the ark? Priesthood is not a function of coat. It's not a function of title. It's a function of presence. Beloved brothers and sisters today, I'm not here to preach for too long. You must come to the point in your life where somebody will be able to say, I came around you, I felt something. Or you entered into the room, something entered. If we can function like that, evangelism will be easy. If we can function like that, conviction will be easy. I'm sure you know there are different kinds of evangelism, right? There is what is called preaching evangelism, where you open your mouth and preach for people to be saved. There's what is called principles evangelism, where your character changes people. There's what they call power evangelism, where signs and wonders become the instrument for the salvation of the souls. But there's something that is called presence evangelism, where it is the presence of God you carry that convicted somebody. You carried, you moved with a presence that changed somebody's life. What is the responsibility of priesthood? If you say, I am a royal priesthood, what is the responsibility of priesthood? Number one, bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Saturating your world with divine presence. Carrying such a presence to cause your generation to know that there is a God. There is something that they will feel that they can't feel it anywhere else. Like I said many times, when you pass beside a real witch doctor, native doctor, herbalist, when you pass around them or you see them, you feel the devil. Am I communicating? When you see them with their red or whatever black or white chalk on their eyes and their regalia and all the things they are carrying and how they look, and even if you approach them, there are places in the village in those days where you are passing there, you'll be running. Because, I'm not sure if you know the kind of place I'm talking about. You are passing those places, you'll be running because of the presence of evil you feel. If evil carries presence, who says that God does not carry a heavier presence? A heavier, more positive, more impactful presence. I want you to live here, royal priesthood, bearing the ark. That's number one. Bearing the ark of his presence, number two, standing before him. We read that already in Deuteronomy 10:8. Stand before him. At that time, he separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord to stand before him. Standing before him is a permanent position of communion. Standing before him. That was what we saw in the life of Elijah. In 1 Kings 17:1, when he said, before God whom I stand. Standing before him. Not before God whom I visited. Not before God whom I saw about 1 month ago. before God whom I stand. I stood there yesterday. I am standing there now. And I will stand there tomorrow. In case you are looking for my address, locate God. Before God whom I stand. If you want to find me, find God. When you find God, you will see me standing there. The real address of the priest is God. You heard when the Bible said, you know, John the Baptist was the son of priests, Zechariah. The Bible says, there was a man sent from God. Not the man sent by God. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. Sent from God. Sent from God. Not sent by God. Sent from God, whose name was John. Before God whom I stand. Many of us, we stand too much in the presence of men. We are over familiar. We are too popular in the courts of men until we are unpopular in the courts of heaven. God knows, and I know, that there are times where coming out to preach can be to me a distraction. Where the thing I cherish the most is to be with Him. Somebody say amen. You need to develop that communion, that stand with Him. In the bathroom you are standing with Him. In the marketplace you are standing in front of Him. On the stairing you are standing with Him. Anytime anybody found you, they found you in front of God. Standing before Him. What is the meaning of pray without ceasing? Be connected to unbroken communion. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, most amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. That was your number two assignment. Standing before Him. And I want to let you know that there are many, many things that will struggle to pull you from in front of Him. There are distractions of life that struggle to pull you from His front. There are hostilities, there are even enemy battles. There are things that want to occupy your mind and pull you from His front. But every time you realize that you are out of His presence, rapidly return back. That is our assignment. That is our responsibility. That is the responsibility of consistently pulling you back into His front. Consistently pulling you back into His front. In my growing up days, what I did was to almost be permanently praying in tongues. If I remembered that I was not praying, I started again. Under my breath. Am I communicating? When we heard the preaching and God said, Adam, where are you? You know the meaning of that? They were not where God expected them to be. They were not where they were meant to be. They had repositioned themselves. Satan repositioned them. And I can assure you, show me a man who has a stand with God. The devil has no stand in his front. No devil is a match for the man that has a stand in the front of God. This is your responsibility this morning. Not just as a pastor. I heard a story read a book of Kenneth Hagin. A criminal was caught like a kidnapper. Hallelujah. Amen. Handle that sound. Hallelujah. People normally pass through a dark alley somewhere, and there was this criminal that was attacking people. At the end, he was arrested. It was in America. And then the victims were invited to come and identify him. And they all identified him. And a young lady also was invited because she passed there. But she was not attacked. And she said, yes, I saw the man there. He's the man. Then they asked that criminal, you attacked everybody, but why not her? And he answered them, but she was not alone. It was not only her that passed. She was in the middle of two giants. There were three of them. Surely goodness and mercy. What the angel of his presence, the angel of his presence that Isaiah talked about in Isaiah 66, the angel of his presence saved them. The angel of his presence. Verse 3, 9. Yes. 639. The angel of his presence. The angel of his presence. The angel of his presence saved them. But she was not alone. You cannot be in his presence and be devoid of the ministry of the angels. The angel of his presence saved them. Assignment number one, bearing the ark. Assignment number two, standing in his presence. It's a place of communion, unbroken fellowship, standing in his presence. Assignment, pastor, preaching is at the tail end. Those of you who are full-time priests in the temple, preaching is at the tail end. Ministering to him. I've gone to the third one now. First one is bearing the ark. Second one is standing before him. And the third one is ministering to him. God needs ministry. Deuteronomy 10:8. Place it. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him. Our ministries have been so frustrated because we have been ministering to the God of the people, to the people of the God, of the Lord, without ministering to the Lord of the people. Ministering unto him. The most important ministry of the minister is ministering to the master. The most important ministry of the child of God is ministering to his maker. Ministering to the Lord can be two or three ways. First of all, it is ministering to the needs of the Lord. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 1 to 2, or in fact, qualified directly to the worship needs of the Lord. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, One translation said, as they were worshipping and fasting. There are many people who submit requests for special number to minister to the people in church who have no business ministering to the Lord. It's like a show then. One day as they were worshiping God, that's the message. They were also fasting as they waited for guidance. The Holy Spirit spoke. Ministering to the Lord is not a matter of voice. It's the matter of task. These people have I formed for myself for number one assignment. Isaiah 43:21. They shall show forth my praise. If God has given me 1,000 songs, 2,000, 3,000, whatever. I don't know the number. 99.99% came while ministering to the Lord, especially in the Spirit. I'll hardly sit down to say, now, let me take write a song. There is one song trying to remember it that came with words first and then the melody came later. But ministering to the Lord. One day I was in my study room worshiping. Tears flowing like water. My wife came in, saw me tearing, sobbing, my nose filled, congested. She just ran back straight. What's going on? Sorry. She ran back straight. Was ministering to the Lord. It's one thing to do things in public and people saw you. To what extent did you do it in the private? Worship and praise is a component of prayer. If you worshiped for 30 minutes and you prayed for 1.5 hours, you have prayed for 2 hours. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That segment is worship. Before you stepped into thy kingdom, come thy will be done in earth. And then you are in our end of the day with worship. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So you started in worship and praise and ended in worship and praise. So if it was 1 hour you did that first worship, and another 1 hour you did the last worship, and then you did 3 hours of the main prayer, you have done 5 hours of praying. I don't know who made us believe that worshiping time in prayer is a waste of time. Paul and Silas prayed and sang and something happened. Ministering to the Lord is lacking in the church. Everybody is struggling to minister to people. Either minister by preaching or minister by singing or minister by choreography. Everybody is struggling to face people. Nobody is facing God. God is at times saying, so the people are more important to you than me. God does not need to hear preaching from you. But he needs to receive your praise and your worship, your appreciation. Ministering to the Lord.
A second dimension of ministering to the Lord is standing by for instructions and errand. Standing by. If you want to understand the word minister, just understand what happened in the wedding in Cana of Galilee, where there were servants on standby waiting for instruction. John chapter 2 verse 5. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do. Standing by. What they wait out. What we call waiter in the hotel is minister. It's the same word. The same translation. Waiter. Standing beside you. When you are eating. Yes, sir. Do you need some salt? Do you need anything? Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me, as the Lord needs somebody, here am I, send me, I will go, send me, I will go, send me, as the Lord needs somebody, I will go, send me. Ministering to the Lord means you are living your life to do what He wants. You are not living your life to do what you want. You are living your life to do what He wants. You are not living your life to do what you want. You are not pastoring to do what you want. You are not in that office to do what you want. You are not in the business world to do what you want. You are in that business world to do what He wants. Ministering to the Lord is our number three assignment. Is that number three? Number four is blessing in His name. To bless in His name. That is, a priest is a channel of generational blessing. To bless in His name, both in word and in deed. A priest is a channel of generational blessing. I see something erupting in somebody's life here today. A channel. One of the things that drive me on evangelism is the level of blessing that offers to people that I encounter. And to bless in His name. The last part of Deuteronomy 10:8. And to bless in His name. And then you go to Numbers chapter 6 verse 23. On this wise. Now look at that. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And to bless in His name. You don't live anywhere the way you met it. You don't leave people the way you met them. Whether in word or in deed. I will give you a few examples. I went to preach one time in the far north. And they invited me as their guest minister. I stepped into that place. And there was no roof and no window. I didn't know it was a popular person, that was a popular pastor. Had already been imparted by Archbishop Bensley Dahosa with a doctorate degree in those days. So my expectation was very high. I came, no roof, no window. Church in construction. Wow. I see you people in construction. Well, praise the Lord. this is the amount I'm going to give for this construction. Because I can't pretend that I didn't see an uncompleted building. And I can't come and preach and go and leave it like that. As many as will join me in this project, can you join me right now? And they join me. I went to a town to preach and the pastor came to pick me with a car. I saw his car and the car was a car that was Volvo at that time. It has broken one light and was just looking somewhere. And that was more like the number one pastor in that town. And I say, how can this be the man of God that is representing the kingdom in this town? I had a Volvo 2 at that time that had 5 gears. I will send it to you under 2 weeks. I put it in place and sent it to him. Not to sell. Not to use. To own. I went to Lagos to preach in a church and the pastor of the church came to pick me with a taxi. And I said, what happened to your car? He said, they are building. So he gave his car to the church. I said, all right, you gave your car to the church. I give my car to you. I went to preach somewhere and people were lifting up their crutches and everybody was healed. But I saw somebody with crutches who had an amputated leg. And I said, you know what? God has healed you, all the people here that have broken bones and all of that, but you have an amputated leg. I'm going to get a prosthetic leg for you. This is what we can do now until God gives us such an anointing to grow out the leg. Am I communicating? There are people who move and nothing changed in people's lives. Nothing traceable, nothing. I mean, we should be able to come into contact with people. Come into contact with people. Somebody met me the other day. Very, very, very funny. Said, I brought prophet's offering to give you and tithe. But we are very, very stranded right now. Church-wise, construction, everything. We need assistance to pay for the new location. So, as I saw it, I said, all right, you know where I'm going to start? I'll trust God to see how I can assist you with what you're doing. But the assistance will start with what you're holding now. So you carry it, go back with it, and use it for the work to start with. Then we'll talk later. Say, thank you, sir. I'm sure, I don't know if you have seen little children before who want to give you meat or something, and when you want to collect it, they take it back. I'm very, very, you know, it beats the imagination, right? Totally beats the imagination. Yeah, but that's all right. Our ministry is to add to people, not to reduce from people. It's to add to people, not to reduce from people. Is God speaking to anybody here? Please, I want to beg you. Your ministry as a priest is to enhance the worth of your generation. Enhance the worth of people that God brings you into contact with. Enhance the worth. Enhance the worth. Enhance the value of people. Enhance the worth. Enhance the value of people. Make the difference in the lives of people. I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind that I will not lead my generation the way I have met it. Wipe out the tears of people. Wipe out the sorrows of people. Put the smiles on the faces of people. It's the duty of the priest.
That was why it was an abomination. When the man that was going from Jerusalem to Jericho and was wounded on the road, laid on the road, and the Bible said the priest came and passed, looking away, and the Levite came and passed, and it was a Samaritan that did what the priest should have done. We'll go to number 5. Bear the ark. Stand in his presence. Minister to him. Bless in his name. Number 4. Malachi chapter 2 verse 7. This is a very, very direct instruction. For the priest's lips, the priest's lip should keep knowledge. And they, that is, people should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. What's the meaning of that? Number 5. Existence as custodian of the knowledge of both God and his word. Existence as custodian of the knowledge of both God and his word. That is, it should be clear to people that you carry God and you carry his word. You are a custodian of the knowledge of God and a custodian of the knowledge of his word. I want to summarize because the sun is rising. The meaning of that is people should come and ask you questions about God and expect answer. People should come and ask you questions in the word and expect answers. I'm not just talking to pastors. The priest's lip should keep knowledge. And they should seek the law of God at his mouth. This is the summary. Knowing God and his word is a non-negotiable responsibility of the priest. Knowing God, knowing his word. Because you cannot give what you don't have. Knowing God, knowing his word. No wonder Paul the apostle said in Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You can't give what you don't have. Knowing God, knowing his word is a non-negotiable responsibility of priesthood. People should come and ask you about God. And I said it some time ago. If nobody is asking you any question, nobody wants to become like you, nobody wants to learn from you, nobody wants to take steps after you, in all probability, life is wasting. Existence as custodian of the knowledge of both God and his word. When people come to you, they shouldn't be in doubt whether you know God or not. They shouldn't be in doubt of answers. Somebody say a loud amen. Please remember that you cannot give what you don't have. 2 Corinthians or Chronicles 15 and verse 3. There was a crisis in Israel when there was no teaching priest. Now for a long season in Israel, Israel had has been without a true God and without a teaching priest and without a law. The kind of people that should teach people, instruct people, that to carry the knowledge of God, they were absent. So the whole land was in chaos. Existence as custodian. Number 6. functioning in the ministry of reconciliation. The assignment of the priest is to reconcile God and man. Assignment of the priest is to make peace between God and man. That is why they offer the peace offerings and the and all the offerings they offer in the Old Testament is to make peace between God and man. Second Chronicles 29 and in verse 23 to verse 24. The Bible said, and they brought forth the he-goats of the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. This was the days of Hezekiah, I believe. And the priests killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all of Israel. They made reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18. And all these things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by our high priest, and has given all the junior priests the ministry of reconciliation. So we eat God that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Any pastor who preaches without altar calls is a kingdom liability. Is a mispastor, a misminister. You are functioning contrary to why you are there. He has given us the ministry, the word of reconciliation. And I don't care what is the ministry, whether you are a prophet, you are a teacher, whether you are a singer, whatever it is, or you are a child of God on your on the street, whatever you do should reconcile people to God. Am I communicating? Is it making sense to anybody? I'm sure you know, most of us, and I thank God because of our people from the northern and southern America here. I'm happy to have all of you. Because we live in a season today where you see big conferences in America, big conferences in Europe and several places. One whole week of conference, morning and night, no altar calls. But plenty offerings are raised. Plenty givings are taken. No soul is expected to be saved. Everybody, God has to help our generation. Yes, sir. What is the essence of a restaurant without the service of food? You know, one day I gave an altar call somewhere. The host of the place came and canceled the altar call. He came and canceled it. You are not, you need to hand over your life to Jesus. You know your life is not in order with God, and you need Jesus in your life. You want to be born again. You want your sins forgiven. Pray this prayer after me. After I finished my own, he came and said, you know what? The prayer is actually for those who have never given their life to Christ before. If you have never been born again, if you have never prayed that prayer before, that is it. This prayer, that is what the prayer is meant for. That is, in other words, if you have prayed that prayer 1,000 times and you are a murderer today, don't pray it again. That was the last time I went to that place. Eh? It just nullified the altar call. Do you understand what I'm saying? He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. I said to you the other day, I was preaching, the people that came, that I went and led to Christ on Saturday, are in foundation class now. They started on Sunday as soon as they arrived. I saw them on Sunday after service, and then saw some of them on Monday who had need to be seen. It's not as if I'm lacking in altar call. I make altar call on Sunday, make altar call on Tuesday, make altar call on Wednesday, make altar call on television, on crusade ground, every day, and then you are still good. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't call yourself a priest until you are a reconciler of people with God. question to ask yourself, priest, is when was the last time you reconciled somebody with his maker? Because most people are angry with God. Most people are in enmity with God. They have it's a permanent state of enmity. They don't have any relationship with God. Your assignment is to connect people with God and make sure that they have relationship with God. And I believe it's a new day for somebody. You believe that, say loud, amen. You believe that, say loud, amen. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I receive the grace to reconcile my generation to you. I receive that grace, Lord, in the name of Jesus, functioning in the ministry of reconciliation. And number 6 or 7, standing in the gap between God and man. Standing in the gap. The meaning of that is, priesthood is an intercessory assignment. The priest stands in that gap between man and God. The Holy of Holies is an intercessory assignment. Samuel the priest, prophetic priest, priestly prophet, in 1 Samuel chapter 12 verse 23, he was talking about his prayer assignment for Israel. He said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. God forbid that I should sin by not praying for you. So for Samuel, not praying for the people is sin. Ezekiel 22 and in verse 30. I sought for a man that will stand in the gap. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. And I found none. You are not necessarily a pastor, but are you standing in the gap for your family? Are you standing in the gap for your children? Are you standing in the gap for the pastor that pastors you? Are you standing in the gap for the congregation? Priesthood, royal priesthood is royal intercessorhood. Somebody say amen. And don't forget this. The basic assignment of priesthood, one basic assignment, is that this priest speaks to God about people and speaks to people about God. That's where he stands. He speaks to God about people. He speaks to people about God. He speaks to God about the people. Lord, I'm talking to you about these people. Change their lives. And then he speaks to people about God. God is not a wicked God. He's a good God. Don't give up on God. He talks to God about the people. And he talks to people about God. You know what we're told? No priest has the right to talk to people about God if he's not talking to God about people. You don't have the right. You don't have the right to be talking to people every day you are preaching. You don't have the right to be talking to people about God until you are talking to the same God about the people. That's a balance of equation. You go to the crusade, you pray to God about the people first, the souls that should be saved. After the crusade, you still pray for the people that are saved, for them to be rooted. And so, it is an intercessory assignment. And number 8, which is final for this morning, is the offering of sacrifices. The offering of sacrifices. One major thing we know about priesthood is the offering of sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 27, the Bible talked about, not like those priests who needed not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. Talking about Jesus. Leviticus chapter 6 verse 22, talking about the priests. He said, and the priest of his sons that is anointed in his stead, that's Aaron, shall offer it. It is a statue forever unto the Lord. It shall be wholly burnt. That is the priest
is a symbol of sacrifice. Sacrifice for himself, sacrifice, generally sacrifice unto God. You can't call yourself a priest if as ordinary as 10% of income can't be given to God. You are not in the realm, you are not in any realm at all. Where there are people who have passed that realm long ago. There are certain income that enter my hand. I'm not talking of tithe. It's 100%. I've seen forex income that went out 100%. I'm not talking of tithe. I'm not even talking of taking 10% for myself and 90% to God. People have passed the realm of struggle to give. Priesthood means holding nothing back. Whether it is a sacrifice on your own behalf, a sacrifice to God, a sacrifice on the behalf of the people. That is God, you own me, you own everything. That was why God said to the priest, you don't need an inheritance among the children of Israel. I am your inheritance. The way you have donated yourself, when Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? And you stood and donated yourself to me. And you offer all these sacrifices. You don't need to ask for any property among Israel. I am your property. Please, if you are royal priesthood, can you outline all the things that I just said? Ensure that you bear the ark of his presence. Number two, stand before him in communion. Number three, minister to him. Don't struggle only to minister to people. Number four, bless in his name. Be a blessing to your generation. Number five, exist as the custodian of the knowledge of both God and his word. Know God. Pursue God to know him. Number six, function in the ministry of reconciliation. The business of reconciling people with God. Number seven, stand in the gap in intercession between God and man. And number eight, offer sacrifices. Stand up on your feet. How many priests say you saw your job description? You saw your job description. You saw your duty. Stand up on your feet and lift up your hands in the praise to God. Lift up your hands in the praise to God. Lift up your hands in the praise to God. Lift up your hands in the praise to God. Take up that song again. Lift up your hands in the praise to God. Lift up your hands in the praise to God. Lift up your hands in the praise to God. Father, I am ready for a fresh mantle of priesthood. Lift up your hands in the praise to God. La Jose Frida Gayata Namoda Lufaro Sibidiaga Young Sembi Tefiuka Kalagadasi Trenigala Usala Yon Saradagala Yalala. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. There is a place my heart cries out for, Lord.